Good morning. During the Lord's Supper, it sounded a bit like a contagious chorus of coughing across the auditorium. It's that time of year where several of us are struggling with congestion and colds and all that good stuff. But we're thankful that you're here. The coughing I can deal with, the lack of sleep in your eyes maybe I can't deal with this morning. As we have sprung ahead 1 hour, some of us are a little dreary perhaps this morning, but hope that you'll give special effort this morning to focus your thought and your mind as we join together and think about God's Word as His people this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our lesson this morning. Would you bow with me, please? Our Father, Your name is holy and worthy of our praise. And yet, we do feel inadequate to offer it. And so it is our prayer that this morning, as we've gathered in the name of Your Son, that You have accepted our efforts to express to You the feelings of our heart with the fruit of our lips as we've lifted our praise before Your throne. We come together this morning as Your gathered people. We come together as a group that embraces the identity of Jesus of Nazareth as being the Messiah and the Son of the living God. And I pray, Father, that we would not just profess that reality with our lips, but that we would reflect that reality with our lives. Father, be patient with us when we have failed You. And we ask by the power of Your Spirit that You would empower us to be the church. Help us to focus our minds upon that topic this morning as we open our minds and our hearts to the message of Your Word that came from the lips of Your very own Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. I think Shakespeare was right. To be or not to be really is the question. In this series of lessons we started last Sunday, we began trying to think through the idea of what it means to say, I am the church. The church is not a location, it's not a building, it's not a religious organization per se, but rather the church is you and me. The church is the people. And we must take ownership of this reality and realize on a very personal level, each one of us, you and me, that I am the church. And so, when we think of the idea of I am the church, the question really is in each one of our hands individually. The question regarding the church is to be or not to be. Will you be the church? We saw in last week's lesson, in part number one, that Peter made a tremendous statement in Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16 in verse 18. He confessed the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, that He is the Son of the living God. And Jesus says it's on that reality, on that rock, on that foundation, that I will build My ecclesia, is what He literally said. I will build My gathered people. And so what is the church? The church is a gathering. People that have been called all over this planet, human beings, a family, a gathering that is built upon the identity of who Jesus is. Now, we know that. We know that as a gathering of people, we should confess the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. We were challenged in last week's lesson to think about, do you really believe that? Well, if you really do believe that, if I really do believe that, then certainly that's who we should be as a gathering of people, is confessing that truth. But I want you to take it one step further this morning. More than just us espousing the doctrinal tenet that Jesus of Nazareth is in fact the Savior of the world and the Son of the living God, have you personally embraced that truth? Because if the church is the people, if you are the church, then your identity as the church must be built upon Christ's identity. Have you made your personal identity the identity of Jesus? In other words, what is your identity built upon? Who do you perceive yourself to be? Is your identity built upon who Jesus is? You see, more than just going to church, we must be the church in our individual personal lives. If Jesus really is the Lord, which Peter confessed him to be, if you really believe that Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth, then do you realize what that means? If Jesus really is the Lord, that requires a complete and total life surrender. It means you've got to give Him everything. Surrender all that you are over to Him. You see, Jesus is not here to give you some self-help or here to give you a little advice or inspiration to help you through your week. Jesus isn't a little boost for your life. If Jesus really is the Lord, then that requires that you fall at His feet with everything that you are and surrender everything over to Him. So to be the church, to be God's gathered people, means that more than just something that you believe, being the church means more than just believing that Jesus is the Lord. Being the church means that you must allow Him to be the Lord of your personal life. To be or not to be? That is your question, and it is mine. And this is what Jesus is talking about being the church in Matthew chapter 7. I want you to look at it again. It was read for us earlier, but Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23 is our text this morning. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the person who does the will of My Father will enter." Now let's focus in there on verse 21, the first part of it, here at the outset, and ask the question, what does it mean to be the church? Well, in the first place, what this verse clearly presents to you and me is the truth that being the church means something more than just knowing something. Being the church is not just about what you know. Being the church is about what you do. The people that Jesus is talking about here will say to Him on the final day, "Lord, Lord." These people recognized Jesus' identity. They acknowledged Jesus' identity. They called Him Lord. Now here's what's so interesting about that is this is the Greek word kurios, which in the Old Testament translation, Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, the Jews were afraid to say the name of God, Yahweh. And so every time the name Yahweh appeared, they would use, instead of Yahweh, they would use oftentimes the Greek word Kyrios, Lord. So do you see what this is saying? If Jesus is the Lord, then Jesus is God. He is the one true and living God. He is Yahweh in the flesh. And there were some people, Jesus says, there will be some people on the final day that will acknowledge that. They will acknowledge that Jesus was God in the flesh, that Jesus was the Lord. They confessed it. They recognized it. But he says, not everybody that acknowledges that will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father. You see, it's not just about what you know, it's about what you do. That's what being church is really all about. You see, the church should look less like coming to the theater and more like going to the gym. You see, when you go to the theater, when you go to the movies, you pay a little money and you sit in a seat and you watch other people perform. But when you go to the gym, you go to a place where people gather for the purpose of working on themselves to be reshaped and remolded into something better. To be the church is not just about what you know, but instead it's about what you do. Now, here is what's so... so staggering about that reality. Do you realize that it is an insult to Jesus if you believe His instructions, you believe His identity, but you don't give your life over to doing His instructions? I went with the youth to a youth event a couple of weekends ago, and one of the speakers made this point in such a powerful way that resonated with me. He said, if you say you believe Jesus, you say you believe who Jesus is, you say you believe all of that, but you don't do it, you are taking the Lord's name in vain. Now think about that for a second. You claim to be a Christian, you claim to believe that, but you're not doing it. You have taken the Lord's name, but in vain. You see, members of a church, of a religious institution, of a religious organization, members memorize, but disciples do. I love this illustration. Some of you have seen it. Some of you, in fact, directed me to it. And I posted a video of this on my Facebook page yesterday, and some of you have seen it. Francis Chan has a tremendous illustration of this point about how members memorize, but disciples do. He said, imagine for a second that your daughter comes into the room and comes into the house, and you say to your daughter, go clean your room. And then she comes back a couple of hours later and she says, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, I memorized what you said. You said, go clean my room. Aren't you proud of me that I memorized what you said? Now, that's not gonna cut it, is it? Or maybe, let's say your daughter comes back and says, Dad, Mom, I can say, go clean your room, and I can say it in Greek. Listen to me say, go clean your room in Greek. Aren't you proud of me? That's not gonna fly. Or maybe your daughter says, listen, Mom, Dad, my friends and I, we're gonna gather together every week and we're gonna study what it would look like if I went and cleaned my room. Every week we're going to get together. In fact, we're going to get together 3 times a week and we're going to sit down and we're going to study what it would look like if I cleaned my room. That's not going to work. It's not going to satisfy. She needs to go and clean her room. You see, too often members memorize, but disciples do. What does it mean to be the church? It means you do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. But exactly what is it that you do? Now, this is where it gets interesting. What is it that you do if you're a disciple, if you really are the church? Because if you look here in Matthew 7, Jesus contrasts two different groups of people. He says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. And he goes on to say, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? So here's one group of people that confesses the identity of Jesus. They believe all the right things. They know who Jesus is. They've memorized all these truths. And not only that, they did some things. They did a lot of religious things in Jesus' name. Even miracles in his name. But then here's another group of people. By the way, he says to them, I will say to you on that final day, I don't know who you are. I never knew you. But he says, the other ones that do the will of my Father, they will enter. Now, wait a minute. It looks like both groups are doing the will of my Father. What is the difference in what they're doing? Well, the one that is cast out did a lot of religious things, prophecy, exorcism, miracles. And they even did those things in the name of Jesus. But notice the one who does enter the kingdom also did something. He did or she did the will of my Father. So that's the key. The question is, what is the Father's will? You see, to be the church, members memorize, but disciples do. But what do disciples do? Disciples do the Father's will. But what is the Father's will? I think the answer to that comes from the rebuke in the last verse here to the one that was cast out. The one that was cast out, he says, I never knew you. You see, being the church isn't about doing religion. Being the church is about doing relationship with Jesus Christ. To know Christ, you have to make him your life. What is eternal life? Jesus would say in John 17, 3, to know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. This is personal relationship. You see, his identity has become your identity. There's an intimacy, a close personal relationship, because disciples don't do religion. Disciples do relationship with Jesus. Come to know Jesus. You see, there is a big difference between doing something and being something. Now, this is a key point right here. There's a big difference between doing something and being something. As many of you know, I grew up on a fourth generation cattle and tobacco farm in Middle Tennessee. If you count me and my brothers and my sister, we're the fifth generation. So I grew up on that farm learning by watching my dad and taking instructions from my dad. I learned how to do farm work. I learned how to plant crops. I learned how to drive a tractor. I learned how to dig post holes. I learned how to vaccinate cattle. I learned how to build barns. I learned how to do all of that stuff. I learned some tremendous life skills that I will be forever grateful for. And my other brothers and my sister learned how to do all that farm work. But myself and my sister, as soon as we got a chance and we got up big enough to do what we wanted to do on our own, we left the farm. And because we wanted to do something else. Now here's the point. You can know how to do something without it being who you are. I know how to do all that farm stuff, but my brother who's closest to me still lives on that farm. He lives in a house on that farm. He still operates equipment on that farm. He still watches the cattle on that farm. He still does all the work of a farmer because for my brother, being a farmer is not just knowing what to do. It is who he is. It is in him. It's his identity. If you meet him, you know from the way he talks to the way he walks, to the things he does, to the things he loves, it's in his blood that he is a farmer. There's a difference between knowing how to do something and being something. And there's a tremendous difference, friends, brothers, sisters. There's a tremendous difference between doing church and being the church. I may be revealing more about myself here than I am you. And I confess that. But let me say, and maybe some of you can identify, I have been in the church all my life. I have witnessed, I have participated in, I've gone to all the lectureships, I've been to the workshops, I've gotten the trophies. And I know what it looks like to do church. And we do a real good job in our gatherings teaching one another how to do church. But I wonder, do we know how to be the church? I'm not sure sometimes I even know how to be the church. I'm not sure we have given the kind of focus that we should over the years on what it means to be the church. Now, let me take it one step further. In our fellowship, of which I am extremely grateful to be a part, but in our fellowship, we have exhausted ourselves on trying to do church the right way, in the right means, through the right methods, focusing on all the forms, trying to restore all the right patterns and methods of church organization and operation. And I'm not saying that that's not important, but what I am saying is that we know how to do church all day long, but do we know how to be the church? Because if we know how to do church, but we're not really the church, then all we are is a whitewashed tomb full of dead man's bones. We will never do church right until we learn to be the church. You cannot restore the church of the first century until you restore what was in their hearts that caused them to be on fire for the cause, and that is the heart of Jesus Christ Himself. They had made their identity His identity. The early church didn't define church by what they did, but instead it was who they were. It was within their hearts. The church, what is it? The church is a gathering of people who have embraced the identity of Jesus as the Messiah and have embraced the identity of Jesus, trying to incorporate His behaviors, attitudes, and personality even in your own life, molding your life after Him, following Him as a disciple. The church is a gathering of those that embrace the identity of Jesus as the Messiah. You see, the Messiah has a people.
The church is His people. The church is the people of God. As Scripture says, this is the covenant, God says, that I will establish with them in those days. I will be their God and they shall be my people. You see, being church is about being God's people in this world. The church is a people who are in covenant, who have made a covenant commitment with God. You see, what does it mean to be the church? For you to be the church, for me to be the church, what does it mean to say, I am the church? It means you are married to Jesus. Your commitment to Him is complete surrender, and you have married yourself to Him. But you see, we cannot be the bride of Christ collectively until we learn to be the bride of Christ individually. So how can we know how to be Christ's bride? I was talking this week with some of the other ministers on staff, and one of them made this point. He said, you know, I'm afraid too often whenever we start asking ourselves, what does it mean to be the church, we have gone first to the best man instead of going to the groom. I said, what do you mean? He says, I think we've gone to the best man. We've gone to Paul first to ask, what does it mean to be the church? And we search the epistles. We search through all of Paul's writings to say, what should we do to be the church? And instead of going to the best man, we should be going straight to the groom. Now, don't misunderstand. Paul, the best man, certainly has the best interests of the groom at heart. The best man is not going to lead us astray. He's not going to say anything that doesn't carry with it the heart of the groom. But the best man is always pointing us to the groom. If we want to know how to be the church, maybe we need to first look to Jesus. Maybe that's where we need to start. And I'm afraid sometimes in the church we've gotten the cart before the horse. We've tried to start with the results of look at what the first century church was, and we start with Acts and the epistles, and we say, here's what they did, here's who they were, now let's try to be like that. And it's not worked for us. We've been doing church like they did church, and then we're not being the people that they were, and we wonder why. Because we need to ask the question, what motivated them to do what they did? They were looking to Jesus. They were looking to the groom. And they were so in love with Him, individually, and then when they got together collectively, that they didn't just do church, they were the church. Well, Jesus gives us a lot of instructions about what it means, what it looks like to be His people, to be the church. And I think that's where we need to start. That's where we need to look first. And what's so intriguing is our lesson text here, in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Members memorize, but disciples do. And what do disciples do? They do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? To come to know Jesus, who He was, and to be like Him. In context of our passage this morning is the Sermon on the Mount. This verse we've been looking at this morning is at the very, almost the very end of this sermon. And what is the broader context? The broader context is Jesus has been explaining verse after verse, chapter after chapter, what it means to be God's people, what it means to be the church. It means that we must be people of humility. It means we must be people who thirst for what is right. It means that we must be people who show mercy and grace to others. It means that we must be people with pure hearts. We must be people who make peace in our world. We are to be people who turn the other cheek. We are to be people who go the second mile. We are to be people who pray fervently. We are to be people who keep their word. People who love their enemies. People who help the needy. People who do not do religious things for outer appearance, but go into their inner closet and speak to the Father. People who release anxiety and trust God fully. People who don't prejudge others. People who do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These are the characteristics that Jesus explores and unpacks in the Sermon on the Mount. It is what it means to be God's people. It is what it means to be the church. What does it mean to be the church? It means we need to go and do church by being church in the world. I am the church. The question is not, do I go to church or not? To be or not to be, that is the question. This morning, have you become the church, the bride of Christ? Have you been married to Jesus by embracing His identity, confessing it, and then embracing His identity as the pattern of life that you live daily? Because that's really what it means to be the church. If you've not made that commitment, if you've not entered that covenant, if you've not been married to Christ, then we encourage you to think seriously about taking that step and stop doing church and start being the church. If we can help you in your obedience to the gospel and repentance and baptism, we certainly want to this morning. But you may be sitting there today thinking, you know, I need to start taking seriously being church in every aspect of my life, being God's people in this world. Maybe you need prayers, or maybe this morning's just a time for you to draw the line in the sand and to make a personal commitment and a decision to take seriously being the church. Will you be able to say, I am the church, when Jesus comes back, and say it with all truthfulness? Because not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but the ones that have done the will of the Father will enter. If we can help you by you coming to know Jesus personally and committing your life to Him, we encourage you to respond to the Lord's invitation as we stand and as we sing.